The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, health professionals in the UK are saying that parents are being misled by sweetened milk substitutes, and they want children to avoid milk alternatives like oat and coconut milk and almond milk and so on. So are they right to be concerned? Well, Michelle Darmody is here, author of Seed to Supper and weekly writer with the Irish Examiner. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Lovely to have you with us. So it is the health experts who are concerned about obesity in young children. Also, dental experts who are saying they are having to remove teeth caused by parents giving their children milk substitutes, not knowing the damage that it's doing. Do you agree with this advice?
Yeah, I've read over the article in question and it just came out this morning, a lot of the references to it. Any sweetened drink for children when they're of young age is definitely going to damage their teeth. And some of the drinks that they're talking about are more in the carbohydrate level. So they're high sugar, but also high carbohydrate. Whereas when you look at dairy and milk, you know, it's a very different makeup of the drink. So they're talking about drinks that are increasing your carbohydrate in your diet, but they're also increasing the sugar in your diet. And those two together, when people aren't aware of it, definitely would have an impact on children.
I think we don't realise how sweetened some of those drinks are. We think that they are healthy and some of them may not be.
And that comes back to so much stuff around food labelling and the food environment that we're in, that it's really hard to unpick some of the stuff. As a parent, you know, when you're running in the shop and you're busy and you're looking at stuff, it's very hard to unpick labelling because there isn't much, you know, you can say natural. You can, you know, package it in something nice and green and package it in nice brown colours that kind of give the impression that something's very earthy and very natural. But yet it can be, you know, added sweetness in it. There can be fortification in it. There's different things in there that it's very hard to unpick that as a parent or as anyone kind of walking into
and a shop. And it's common, of course, now, you know, and a number of years ago, you would never have seen these products, or certainly rarely. They were niche products, weren't they?
Yeah, now they're on shop shelves everywhere for all ages. And I think the article is specifically talking about stuff that's targeted at children and targeted at young people. And that's what they were worried about. You know, at that young age, you do need a lot of calcium in your diet. You know, you do need to reduce the sugar in your diet when your teeth are growing, when your bones are growing, when your body is growing particularly.
Yeah. Talk to me about the importance of calcium, because in all of this, parents will think they're doing the right thing by using a milk substitute, but you then are taking away a huge source of calcium, aren't you?
Well, calcium in milk, there's other components in milk that help that bioabsorption, that help how you kind of digest that calcium. So in a lot of natural sources of calcium, our body has all these other things with it that help your gut, that help your tummy, help your microbiome to digest milk. Whereas when something is fortified, it can, in a lot of cases, not be digested half as well by the body. So you can have the same amount in one product, you know, on the label. But if it doesn't have all those other things with it, the casein and the different things in milk that help you digest it, your body may not be absorbing it. So there is that kind of, so that's again coming back to how tricky it is for a parent to navigate that. You might look like it's the same amount, but you need all of these other natural kind of components within an item of food, particularly dairy, that help you digest.
So even if you're buying something that is fortified with what you're looking for and what you need, you mightn't be able to take it in.
Exactly. And I know, you know, if when I was pregnant, I had to take iron supplements, as a lot of women do, and they tell you to use like orange juice or vitamin C with it. So that vitamin C helps your absorption, and in milk and in other more natural forms of calcium, there's different things within that food that help that come into your body, help your body make the best use of it. There's definitely people who need I've an elderly uncle who's got, you know, he definitely needs fortified foods in his diet. But for most of us, most adults and most children, we don't necessarily need it. We can get it within our diet if we have availability to fresh produce, if we have availability to, you know, home cooked foods, if we have availability to fruits and veggies and dairy, we generally will be able to absorb those in our diet.
Do you see all of this as a symptom of people just being bombarded with messages about nutrition?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's so much out there and it's so hard to navigate to find out, you know, what's good. And it's an emotive subject, you know, it's difficult for people to kind of navigate that world and the food environment that we've kind of created around ourselves when it's led by marketing, it's led by, you know, factory processing. You know, there's a lot more money to be made in something that's produced in a factory than, you know, our farmers. We can see, you know, how difficult it is for them to make their margins. You know, so we're talking about this food environment that's extremely complicated to navigate, and parents think they might be doing the right thing because that marketing is telling them they're doing the right thing, and you might not have the time to delve into it further and delve into the research and delve into the science. You know, we're lucky there is quite good government advice in Ireland and in the EU. So, you know, you can, if you have the time and the energy to try and look at the science and look at that advice. But the marketing advice is just overwhelming for an awful lot of people.
A listener says that their child was raised on soy and plant-based protein milk. He's almost 22. He goes to the dentist regularly, has never had a filling. There is calcium in milk substitutes and there is sugar in dairy-based products. It just depends on each product.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this article, particularly when they're talking about the dairy, they're talking about sweetened products and any sweetened drink for a child, you know, or sweetened yogurts. It is definitely best to steer away from them, to steer towards one that has much less sugar in it. And if you can get the high calcium.
So you can get, like this listener is saying, you can get essentially a non-dairy milk substitute that is going to be, is not going to cause obesity, it's not going to cause dental problems, and it supports your nutritional needs. Is that right, do you think?
It depends on the overall diet. Again, it's really hard to unpick one item within a diet. A diet is an accumulative effect. Your diet also changes. You know, if someone gets unwell, they eat differently. If someone's young, they eat differently. If someone's old, they eat differently. So we have to kind of look at different stages in life. And if you're taking on too much sugar at a young age, and if you're taking on too much carbohydrate at a young age and not enough calcium, you know, that's definitely not good. But if you can balance it out with other things within your diet, you know, things like sesame seeds have a lot of calcium in them. Some green veg has a lot of calcium. I mean, the absorption is slightly different to dairy. So, you know, if you can make your diet full around it, keep out the sugars, but if you can kind of fill your diet in other ways, then you can balance things out. And it's about looking at a diet as a whole and trying to keep, you know, keep things as natural. Again, it's so hard to use words around food, you know, because they've been so co-opted by marketing.
Well,
it's
I'm listening to you and I know about all of the confusion that exists because of marketing, and a lot of it is connected with social media and so on. But also there's the issue of convenience, you know, and that's where the highly processed, manufactured foods, that's where they win, really, because you can grab it and eat it.
Playing on the idea that people are time poor, you know, and using it, like the idea that you can run in, you can grab something quickly. But even the words around it, like I advocate a lot for, say, school meals around kind of cooking from scratch. And even using those words, it's hard to use. What words use? Do you say home-cooked meals? Do you, like, chop the veggie? How do you differentiate what a home-cooked meal is compared to a meal that's processed or a meal that's ready-made? So we kind of have to sit down really critically as adults and kind of start looking at how a meal is put together, how a diet is put together. And not everyone has the time to do that. So there is things that are kind of thrown at us by large companies and large marketing to kind of fill those gaps to think. But it's when people get very confused about those wordings and the marketing, and it can be very disingenuous marketing. Like I said, you can, I suppose, the use of kind of greenwashing, that idea that it's saying something is wholesome or something is natural, and we don't really have exact terminology for what that means. So it can cause confusion for everyone, you know, for anyone.
So now you've mentioned school meals, that's going to take us into a whole other area, but I want to ask you a couple of questions. So when you say you're advocating for that to be cooked from scratch, do you want the children who are eating it to be involved in that process?
Well, that would be amazing, but I don't think our system is set up in that way at the moment, and it's a long, long way to it. We did have an interdepartment, or we did have an Oireachtas committee group very recently who did 6 full weeks looking at school meals, and they recommended that every school in Ireland works towards having its own kitchen, which would be brilliant. The smell of cooking in a school, children seeing it being cooked. I think we have a long way to go to get to that. Well, it's a very laudable thing to work towards. At the moment, it would be great for meals to actually be cooked, like as in the food chopped, the thing, and they're not, because there's such a large volume. People are doing very, very large volumes, and they're buying in meat that's been already processed somewhere else, buying in pasta that's been cooked somewhere else, and they're just stirring components together in the morning, and then that meal is reheated in transit or reheated in a school. So there's a very different nutritional value to that.
Say, now, we'll have some providers onto us, I know, saying that's not how we do it. And there is disparity around the country, isn't it?
Yeah.
It depends on who is providing the service, and some of them are doing all of that and others clearly are not.
And it's we don't have an overall picture. We know that there is a few very large suppliers within the market who work in that way. It's kind of an assemble model. We have some more community hubs. The idea, I was actually very recently down in a place in North Cork, I think they've been mentioned before, Johallo, and they cook a lot from scratch. There's a place called Ubber up in Galway, and they are, you know, buying in veg every morning, they're buying in meat every morning, they're chopping it, they're cooking it. So the meal arrives at a school hot. So the meal has been cooked that day. It hasn't been chilled, it hasn't been reheated, it hasn't been assembled. It's been cooked as you would in most home settings or most, say, restaurant settings. So the meal is cooked. So it's not a reheated meal that you might get, say, if you know, say if you're on an airplane or you're in different places, there's a regen oven. The food is kind of put in cold and it's reheated in an oven. So there's just a different way of making it. There's a very different nutritional value. There's a different way of creating a meal.
Even as you describe it, it just sounds so much more appealing, you know, to make it fresh.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine like pasta that's been cold with a sauce put on top of it. It's more difficult to eat. Like physically, it's more difficult to eat. It's stickier. It's thing. Whereas if you've got a sauce that's stirred through it that morning, that's made fresh, that's got different things in it, it's a different mouthfeel. It's a different texture, as well as a nutritional value. It's easier for the children to eat. Our children only have quite a limited time to eat their, you know, their lunch. So it's an easier thing for them to eat. There's more nutrition in it. And I would advocate for that. But going back to the language then, what do we call that? Is it a home-cooked meal? Is it a scratch-cooked meal? We kind of don't have definitions around how we
Well, whatever it is,
food.
It certainly sounds better than some of what is being served. Michelle, thanks so much for coming in. Michelle's book is called Seed to Supper.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.